Before we dive in, I want to let you know that this episode is entirely AI generated, including the voices you're hearing. Today's episode is brought to you by Flowdesk Pro, the fictional standing desk that adjusts to your energy levels throughout the day. Remember, Flowdesk Pro is completely fictional. Some information in this episode may be hallucinated, so please double-check anything important before acting on it. I'm Sarah, and today we're talking about a book that tackles one of business's most puzzling problems. Why do successful companies seem to inevitably lose their way as they grow? With me is Marcus Chen, a former Bain consultant who spent 15 years helping Fortune 500 companies navigate growth crises. Marcus, you've seen this pattern play out dozens of times in real organizations.
Absolutely, Sarah. I picked up Chris Zook's The Founder's Mentality because I kept seeing the same thing. Companies would come to us after years of declining performance, and the executives would say, "We used to be so nimble, so focused. They'd lost something essential."
And Zook argues this isn't random bad luck. There's actually a predictable pattern to how companies lose their founder's mentality.
Exactly. Zook and his co-author James Allen studied this at Bain for over a decade. They found that only about 10 to 15% of companies successfully navigate the transition from startup to large-scale enterprise without losing what made them great.
That's a stunning failure rate. What credentials does Zook bring to this analysis?
Chris Zook is a senior partner at Bain & Company and has led their global strategy practice. He's advised hundreds of CEOs on growth strategy and has written several business books. But what makes this book different is the scale of research behind it.
Tell me about that research foundation.
They analyzed thousands of companies over multiple decades, looking specifically at what separates sustained performers from those that plateau or decline. They also conducted deep dive case studies on companies that managed to maintain their founders' mentality at scale.
So this isn't just theory. They're trying to solve a real, measurable business problem.
Right. The problem is that most business advice focuses on either startups or large enterprises. But Zook noticed there's this dangerous middle ground where companies get trapped. They're too big to be nimble, but they haven't figured out how to be systematically excellent at scale.
And that's where the founder's mentality comes in. Let's unpack what Zook means by that term.
The founder's mentality has three core components. First is an insurgent mission. That's the sense that you're fighting against something bigger than yourself, disrupting an established order.
Can you give me a concrete example of what an insurgent mission looks like?
Think about Southwest Airlines when it started. Their insurgent mission wasn't just be an airline. It was democratize air travel, make flying accessible to people who couldn't afford it before. They were explicitly fighting against the established carriers and their high prices.
And that mission shaped everything about how they operated.
Exactly. It influenced their route structure, their no-frills service model, even their hiring. Every decision could be evaluated against that core insurgent purpose. The second component is frontline obsession, an intense focus on the customers and employees who are closest to the actual value creation.
This sounds different from the typical customer focus that every company claims to have.
It is different. Frontline obsession means the senior leadership team spends significant time with frontline employees and customers, not in boardrooms talking about them, but actually with them. Zook found that founders naturally do this, but as companies grow, leadership gets pulled into internal meetings and processes.
What's the third component?
Owner mindset. This is the sense that everyone in the organization thinks and acts like an owner, not just an employee. People feel personally responsible for outcomes, not just their specific job function.
Now, Zook's central thesis is that companies predictably lose these three elements as they grow. Why is this so predictable?
Zook identifies what he calls the growth paradox. The very systems and processes that enable growth at scale systematically erode the behaviors that created success in the first place.
Walk me through how this paradox actually plays out.
As companies grow, they need more formal processes, more hierarchy, more specialization. That's unavoidable. But each of these changes distances people from the original mission, from frontline reality, and from feeling personal ownership.
So it's not that leaders make bad decisions. The structure itself creates the problem.
Exactly. Zook calls this stall out. Companies hit a growth plateau, not because of external competition or market changes, but because of internal complexity and bureaucracy. The organization becomes its own worst enemy.
What does stall out actually look like when you're inside the company?
Zook describes several warning signs. Decision-making slows down because everything needs multiple approvals. The senior team spends more time in internal meetings than with customers. New initiatives get bogged down in process.
And employees start feeling disconnected from the mission.
Right. People become focused on managing their piece of the bureaucracy rather than serving customers or advancing the core mission. What Zook calls the bureaucratic center of gravity starts pulling energy away from the front lines.
Is this inevitable? Or are there companies that have successfully avoided this trap?
That's what makes this book so valuable. Zook studied companies that managed to scale without losing their founder's mentality. Companies like Enterprise, Rent-A-Car, IKEA, and Vanguard. They found specific practices these companies use.
Let's dig into those practices. What are the key frameworks Zook recommends for maintaining founders' mentality at scale?
The first framework is what he calls insurgency at scale. This means continuously identifying new fronts in your insurgent mission as you grow larger.
What does that look like practically?
Take IKEA. Their original insurgent mission was democratizing good design, making well-designed furniture accessible to everyone. As they've grown, they've extended that insurgency to sustainability, to small space living, to emerging markets.
So the mission evolves, but stays true to the original insurgent spirit.
Exactly. The key is that leadership actively looks for new ways to channel that insurgent energy, rather than letting the organization become complacent with success.
What's the second framework?
Maintaining frontline obsession through what Zook calls systematic frontline exposure. This means building formal mechanisms to keep leadership connected to customers and frontline employees.
Give me a specific example of how this works.
Enterprise Rent-A-Car requires every corporate executive to spend time working in rental branches, not visiting, actually working behind the counter, dealing with customers, handling the daily operational challenges.
That's much more intensive than typical management by walking around.
Right. Zook found that companies maintaining founders' mentality don't just talk to frontline people, they structure regular, meaningful exposure to frontline reality. It has to be systematic, not occasional.
What about maintaining owner mindset as you scale?
This is where Zook introduces the concept of distributed ownership. You can't make everyone a literal owner, but you can structure decision rights and incentives to recreate ownership-like thinking.
How does distributed ownership actually work in practice?
One approach is what Zook calls micro-battles. Instead of managing everything through corporate-wide initiatives, you identify specific, winnable battles that individual teams can own completely.
Can you walk me through a micro-battle example?
Sure. Instead of launching a company-wide customer service improvement program, you might give one team complete ownership of reducing wait times in a specific customer segment. They get the authority and resources to solve that problem entirely.
And that creates the ownership feeling because they're responsible for a complete outcome, not just a piece of a process.
Exactly. Zook argues that people naturally think like owners when they can see the direct connection between their decisions and outcomes. Micro-battles recreate that connection even in large organizations.
Now, let's talk about implementation. If I am a leader in a growing company, how do I actually apply these frameworks?
Zook recommends starting with what he calls a founder's mentality audit. You systematically assess where your organization currently stands on insurgent mission, frontline obsession, and owner mindset.
What would that audit actually involve?
For insurgent mission, you'd survey employees at different levels about whether they can clearly articulate what you're fighting for and against. Not just your mission statement, but the specific enemies you're battling.
And if people can't articulate that?
That's a red flag. It means the insurgent mission has gotten diluted or lost. You need to either clarify the existing mission or identify new fronts for your insurgency.
What about auditing frontline obsession?
Track how senior leaders actually spend their time. Zook suggests companies maintaining founder's mentality have leaders spending at least 20 to 30% of their time directly exposed to frontline reality.
That seems like a lot for senior executives.
It is, and that's precisely the point. If your senior team can't spare that time for frontline exposure, you've probably already developed too much internal focus. The priorities have shifted away from external value creation.
How do you audit owner mindset?
Look at decision-making patterns. In organizations with owner mindset, decisions get made quickly by people close to the issue. If everything requires multiple layers of approval, you've lost owner mindset.
Once you've done the audit and identified problems, what's the implementation sequence?
Zook recommends starting with micro-battles because they can generate quick wins and demonstrate the power of distributed ownership. Pick 3 to 5 specific measurable challenges that different teams can own completely.
Walk me through how you'd set up one of these micro-battles.
Let's say you're a retail company and customer complaints about checkout speed are increasing. Instead of a corporate initiative, you give one store complete ownership of solving checkout speed for their location.
What authority would that store actually get?
They get budget authority to change staffing, technology, or process. They can redesign the checkout area, implement new procedures, whatever they think will work. The key is they own the whole problem, not just a piece.
And then what happens?
You measure results and share learnings. If it works, you scale the solution. If it doesn't, you learn from the failure. But either way, that team experienced owner-like responsibility and authority.
What about the timeline for seeing results from these approaches?
Zook suggests you can see behavioral changes within 90 days if you're implementing micro-battles correctly. People respond quickly when they're given real authority and clear accountability.
But presumably, changing the overall culture takes longer.
Much longer. Zook estimates it takes 12 to 18 months to see systematic culture change. And that's only if leadership consistently models the behaviors they want to see.
What are the most common mistakes you see when companies try to implement these ideas?
The biggest mistake is treating this like a program rather than a fundamental operating model. Leaders announce they're going to implement founder's mentality, but don't change their own behaviors.
What does that look like specifically?
They talk about frontline obsession, but still spend all their time in internal meetings. They praise ownership mindset, but continue to require multiple approvals for decisions. The disconnect between words and actions kills credibility quickly.
What about when these approaches don't work? Are there situations where founders' mentality isn't the right solution?
Zuck acknowledges that in highly regulated industries or certain types of manufacturing, you need more process and control than these approaches might suggest. The key is finding the right balance, not eliminating all structure.
How do you adapt these methods for different contexts?
In regulated environments, you might focus more on micro battles within compliance constraints. In technology companies, you might emphasize insurgent mission more heavily. But the three core elements remain relevant.
If someone could only implement one thing from this book, what should it be?
Start with systematic frontline exposure for leadership. It's concrete, measurable, and immediately changes how decisions get made. Plus, it naturally leads to the other elements.
Let's shift to critical evaluation. Where does this book really excel?
The research foundation is exceptional. Zuck doesn't just offer opinions. He backs up every major claim with data from thousands of companies. That's rare in business books.
What else does it do well?
Frameworks are practical and specific. This isn't abstract theory. Zuck gives you concrete tools you can implement immediately, like the micro battles approach or the frontline exposure requirements.
Where does the book fall short?
The case studies are mostly from larger, established companies. If you're leading a 50-person startup, some of the advice feels premature. You're not dealing with bureaucracy yet. You're trying to create initial scale.
What else is missing?
Zuck doesn't adequately address the role of technology in maintaining founders' mentality. Many of his examples predate the current era of digital tools that can help maintain connection and agility at scale.
How does this book compare to other growth strategy work?
Most growth books focus on external strategy, new markets, new products, acquisitions. Zuck's insight is that internal organizational health is often the real constraint on sustainable growth.
That seems like an important distinction.
It is. Companies spend enormous resources on growth initiatives that fail, not because the strategy is wrong, but because the organization can't execute effectively. Zuck addresses that underlying execution capability.
Where does the book overpromise or underdeliver?
The title suggests these are predictable crises, but the solutions require significant leadership commitment and behavioral change. It's not as straightforward as the framework makes it seem.
What should readers look for elsewhere to supplement this book?
You'd want to read more about change management and organizational behavior. Zuck tells you what to do, but doesn't dive deep into how to manage the human dynamics of organizational transformation.
Any other gaps?
The book doesn't address how to maintain founders' mentality through leadership transitions. What happens when the actual founder leaves? That's a crucial question for many companies.
Let's talk about the book's broader impact. How has it influenced business thinking?
It's shifted conversation away from pure growth strategies toward what you might call sustainable growth, growth that doesn't undermine the capabilities that created success.
Has that changed how companies approach scaling?
You see more companies trying to maintain startup-like characteristics as they grow. The concept of micro battles has been adopted widely, though not always with full understanding of the underlying principles.
What criticism has the book received over time?
Some argue it romanticizes the founder phase and doesn't acknowledge that some founder behaviors need to change as companies scale. Not every aspect of founders' mentality is universally positive.
How has business changed since this book was published in 2016?
The rise of remote work and digital-first operations has created new challenges for maintaining frontline obsession. It's harder to achieve that direct exposure when teams are distributed globally.
But presumably, the core principles still apply.
Absolutely. If anything, the need for clear insurgent mission and owner mindset has become more important in remote environments. People need stronger connection to purpose when they're not physically together.
As we wrap up, what's the single most important thing listeners should take from this conversation?
Growth and organizational health aren't separate challenges. They're the same challenge. You can't achieve sustainable growth by sacrificing the behaviors and mindset that created your initial success.
And the practical takeaway?
Start measuring how your leadership team actually spends time. If you're not systematically exposed to frontline reality, you're probably already losing the founder's mentality, even if your financial metrics still look good.
That's a concrete place for any leader to start. Marcus, thanks for walking us through these ideas.
Thanks, Sarah. This book offers a framework for one of business's hardest problems, staying entrepreneurial while building enterprise capabilities. It's worth reading for any leader dealing with growth challenges.